Welcome to The Stare Down, sports talk and real estate, with Sean Carpenter of Coldwell Banker in Columbus, Ohio, Bill Risser of Fidelity National Title in Tampa, Florida, and Todd Meininger of Cummins, Georgia. Listen in as they discuss the week in sports and toss in a pinch of real estate too. Now your hosts, Sean, Todd and Bill.
There's a southern accent where I come from. The young'uns call it country, the Yankees call it dumb. I got my own way of talking, but done with a southern accent where I come from.
Hey, greetings everybody. Welcome back to the Stare Down, where we've lost one of our fan favorites, Tom Petty and the Heartbreakers, as you heard in the intro there. One of Gainesville's finest sons. We'll talk about the tribute that the Gainesville crowd gave him at the Florida game this weekend. But guys, it's been a long week since our last episode. It's been the same number of days, but it just seems like a lot's happened in the world with Las Vegas and with Tom Petty dying later that night. A lot of action in the sports world, which we're going to get into in just a minute. But as usual, I'm Sean Carpenter, coming to you from St. Louis, Missouri tonight. My buddy Bill Risser at his home in St. Petersburg, Florida, and Todd Meininger at his home in Cumming, Georgia. Good evening, boys. How are you? Bill, let's start with you.
Hey, Sean. How you doing? I'm doing fine. It's been fun listening to you and Todd this week online and in our private messages, you know, talk about Tom Petty, because you both, you know, it really was kind of the sweet spot for you going to Florida. It was all part of that culture, I would think, you know, that really was what Tom Petty was. And I've been enlightened this week about some of his work. It's been fun to hear you talk about songs and then go find them or pull up, Tom Petty Channel 31 on Sirius XM and listen to a whole bunch of stuff I've never heard before, which is very cool. So that's been fun. And then, you know, you throw in what happened in Las Vegas and it's just, you're right. It's been a long week. And so well put.
Todd, how are you, man?
Hey, Sean. Tough week, right? Las Vegas happened, and that's just kind of gets you sad about the state of affairs in the world. And then Tom Petty dying. I mean, some things hit closer to home than others, right? It's always sad to see a great one, a famous person pass, but this one was like a kick in the gut. I know we exchanged some texts and some social media exchanges, but I'm sure we'll get more into it, but what kind of made me a little melancholy is how we appreciate some of the greats, unfortunately, after they pass. I wish there was a way we can celebrate them more when they're with us, but I guess that's life. You appreciate things when they're gone. So anyway, tough week, but luckily we had a lot of sports action to kind of divert our attention and get us through these tough times, right?
Yeah, you know, I got your text, Todd. You were the person that kind of broke the news to me. On Monday afternoon after driving down from Columbus to Roanoke, Virginia, where I was doing a presentation. And it kind of just makes you realize that we're all chasing time. You know, I mean, there's going to be at some point in time, there's going to be the Keith Richards and the Mick Jaggers and the Bob Dylans and just kind of the people from our generation. And it's just kind of catching up to you. And it kind of just makes you a little more humble and a little more thankful of the time you have. But Bill, you're right. The way that Gainesville embraced Tom and really most of the Heartbreakers are from the greater Gainesville area. And to see them be successful, you know, it's kind of like you saw Minnesota embrace Prince when he died. And obviously Minnesota will, you know, claim and be very proud of Bob Dylan. Some people are just kind of synonymous with where they're from. Leonard Skinner from Jacksonville, you know, it's just, you kind of know the story of the city, where they came from. and obviously, you know, Johnny Cash, you know, from the South and Elvis, but, you know, it was a cool tribute. We'll get to it when we get to the Gator game, when we kind of recap, but let's kind of start with four, what I think are pretty good series right now. We'll see what happens here in the game that we're recording live during, and we're, you know, we're on Sunday night. The show is posted on Mondays, but Yankees, Indians in a pretty good pitching duel right now. It's only three hits so far in the game, but boy, let's start there because Tribe wins a good game in game one. But how about that game two, Bill? Have you seen a turnaround like that? I mean, it's obviously the largest blown lead, 5-run lead by the Yankees, largest blown lead in their history in a playoff game. Kind of an interesting. I didn't see the missed call because, like I said, I've been on the road. But I guess Girardi could have challenged. Bill, could you fill me in on that?
Yeah. So I can't remember the batter's name who was up, but he was hit by a pitch supposedly, and that's a reviewable play. You can actually, you know, ask for a challenge to see if that's it actually did happen. And in the super slow-mo replay that we all saw, you could see that the ball ticked off the bat, which makes it a foul ball. It's not a hit by pitch. Now the batter's just going to take first. And the next player to come up with Lindor, I think it was Lindor comes up and acts absolutely,
grand slam, right?
Yeah, grand slam. And now, you know, Girardi's on the hot seat for not challenging the play. But I have to compliment Girardi. By the way, I apologize for my voice. I'm still kind of in a different place from that Buccaneers game against the Patriots on Thursday night. I might have yelled a little too loud, a little too long.
We're going to get to that game because I think he could be a kicker than the Buccaneers have.
Oh, my gosh. Anyway.
Hey, Bill, I did too, but for totally different reasons. I'll get in. Go ahead.
But Girardi was really good on an interview. I heard him today talked about the fact that, you know, we just didn't have that replay quick enough. He could have thrown his video review guy under the bus because it's his job to tell the coach that's on the phone, hey, challenge it, right? It's not Girardi has no idea. He can't see a single review. He's got to go off this guy's take. And that guy didn't have the review, according to Girardi, that everyone saw later because television can do all kinds of things. So that's hard to throw that back on, you know, Joe. Sure. But sure. You know, those kinds of things, they're happening now.
What do you think of that? What have you thought about this series so far? Let's just focus on Cleveland, New York right now.
Yeah, look, I think the Indians are way better than the Yankees. So, and I know you like that, Sean. So I really think they're going to – I don't know if they win it tonight, but they're a great team. So it's going to be fun to watch.
And, you know, Aaron Judge has really been held in check. I mean, the one guy that you're expecting, you know, at any point you're expecting kind of him to have that tape measure home run and maybe change things. But if the Indians can keep, you know, I'll tell you that Terry Francona just has a way with keeping it calm.
Look, when Corey Kluber gets lit up and you win that game, there's a little destiny going on, right?
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah.
Sean, let's go back to that one play because I saw it. I mean, the ball – what's the end of the bat called? Little nub? The knob.
Yeah.
Clearly hit the knob. I mean, that you have a guy. Don't you have a guy, Bill, that's all he's doing is looking for stuff like this?
But he can only watch the video that is being supplied by MLB. Like, he doesn't have his own camera and his own stuff back there where he's flipping through stuff. He's watching the replays quickly because the network plays them quickly. I'm almost positive of this. And then he's just saying, let's make a call. Let's do it. And it's up to him.
So let me ask you this. Being a catcher, don't you hear the ball hitting the bat versus hitting bones and flesh? I guess what boggles my mind is, you know, time out, have the catcher walk to the pitcher, have a little make up a conference and buy yourself that extra minute to review the video. It was huge. I mean, that was a huge play. It you know, may cost them the series. It is what it is. It happened. But when I was watching that, I couldn't believe that that the Yankees allowed that to happen, right?
Yeah. Once again, you know, I even think there's rules against that, Todd, where you can't just stall. It's not like a football where you call a timeout, especially college, right? You'll call a timeout, give the guys a chance to review it. Not the case in baseball. You've got a certain period of time where that manager has to say yes or no, right? And the umpires are looking at him. He'll just put his hand up and say, hold on, and they give them a brief moment in time to get, you know, word from the video guy.
Okay, so that's interesting. So if let's say the catcher can't pretend that they're mixing up signs with the pitcher, go to talk to him, and then the manager can say, whoa, whoa, whoa. So it's literally a bang, bang, Bang Bang Call?
Yeah. Okay. And you got to think about it. Baseball's already got a huge problem with the game.
No, I didn't know that. That's why I couldn't believe why they didn't stall for a little more time. But hey, learn something new every day. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. You know, Todd, and we see that in college football all the time, right? When it looks like there's a play that needs reviewed, a coach sometimes will call a timeout. We'll talk about
it. Or the offense will go and snap it real quick, right?
Do a quick play. Yeah. We'll talk about it in the Gamecocks game I was at in person, you know. And, man, the experience, Bill, you're going to realize it this week when you go to Gainesville, the experience of watching a game on TV in your home or a bar is so different than watching it in person, as you know. It's just the gaps in time are just tremendous. But – let's go to the other American League game series, Houston versus Boston. And if this series ever had American League stamped on it, it's this one with just 48 runs scored now in three games.
Home runs everywhere. Yeah, it's definitely get them on and knock them in. Not get them on, get them over.
Yeah, was it Correa had three? Carrera had three home runs in game one. Right? Impressive win by the
– That was Altuve had three games.
Altuve, yes. Yeah. Sorry. And then game two they won. And then today, Boston in a must-win situation wins 10-3.
Wow, yeah.
Yeah.
So just kind of did what they needed to do. Now, I believe Verlander will pitch next game, right?
I think you're right. Yep,
for Houston. Pitch game four. I like Houston's chances with Verlander on the mound and Boston in a must-win situation. But we'll see. Any thoughts on that series? Anything you've seen in that gives you pause, or just waiting to see who advances?
You know, I guess it's just because they were both so good this year. I really want to see Cleveland and Houston, battle.
Yeah.
For a trip to the World Series. So I think most people, unless you have don't get me started about fans from the Boston area, but if you, they're the only ones rooting for the Red Sox. I promise.
I think nobody wants to see a Yankees Red Sox.
No.
ALCS. No. I don't say nobody. Todd, yeah, right. I mean, it'd be like seeing Duke North Carolina in the championship game in basketball.
It's not the worst thing. You want the guys that haven't been there in a while to play.
Yeah.
You want to see Cleveland, Houston. If it was Yankees Boston, you'd get over it and you'd watch. What's funny to me, Bill, and I'm sure it happens to you all the time, but Houston's two catchers, and I'm not sure if one of them is a catcher, but Evan Gattis and Brian McCann, two former Braves that were on the same roster, six, seven, 8 years ago.
Yeah.
I kind of lost sight of both of them, and I was watching. I'm like, oh, wow, those two guys. Yeah. It was kind of cool.
Those names ring a bell. All right, let's turn it over to the National League. Todd, let's start with you. Did you happen to watch the Scherzer game? Game one of the Nationals and Cubs.
So I didn't watch a lot of it. I followed it, but I think I sent you a text, both y'all text. Don't sleep on the Cubs, and the Nets are being the Nets in the postseason, right? They won game two, I believe, if I'm not mistaken.
They did.
So they're back in it, but They
not only won game two, they came back in kind of dramatic fashion too.
Right.
I mean, they were getting beat for the first nine innings plus then the first, seven innings. And then they popped out for Bryce Harper hit a home run.
Right. They came back big. You're right.
Yeah, bottom of the eighth. So it was 17 innings of being behind.
And being a Braves – yeah. Being a Braves fan, we're definitely on the downslide. But for years – had a great run being a Braves fan, and then the Nats were up and coming, right? Yeah. And for so long it was, the Nationals, and it seemed like they would who's their Strasburger? They shut him down in August and September before the playoffs, which always baffled me. And then they'd be, one first round done. So until they win something, I'm kind of in that mindset of, Nationals will be Nationals. And God, the Cubs are tough. I wouldn't want to face the Cubs in the playoffs, especially with their skipper and winning the World Series last year.
Yeah. Bill, what do you think of that series so far? I mean, that game one was kind of a fun one to watch. It was classic. It was really a classic National League game. Strasburg was just throwing heat. I mean, think he had like nine strikeouts through the first five innings.
Yeah, and Strasburg was down 2-0 without giving up a hit. he just got a little crazy with his control, right? So he walked two batters, a, you know, wild pitched him around and sack fly here. And then another a fielder's choice. I mean, he just, you know, he's such a great pitcher. He's got a big curveball, fastball. He's got everybody, he's got all the tools, and a San Diego boy, which makes me feel good too. But, it's going to be a fun series going back to Chicago for two to see if the Nationals got to get one there so they can get that final game five back home. So we'll see if they can do it.
And Bill, how many guys live up to the hype that Strasburg's? I mean, he was so hyped. And I mean, this is what, 6, 7, 8 years later, he's still the number one guy for the Nationals and seems to be getting better, right?
Right. I mean, well, he had those injury problems early, really set him back.
That's why they kept putting him on the shelf early.
Yeah.
He had a pitch count or an innings count every season for the first three years.
Yeah. So fun to see him come into his own, but you throw Scherzer and Gio Gonzalez. That's a hell of a rotation for a player.
Yeah. So. And Bill, I'll tell you what, you mentioned it in kind of the way you said it, you know, Strasburg was pitching great and he was down 2-0. It starts in Little League, but you really see, there's really no, it doesn't happen in any of the sports like it does in baseball, where one little crack leads to like three more like breaks, you know, like a flare in a little league game turns into an overthrow, turns into an extra base, turns into a pass ball, and all of a sudden it's 13-0, you know, and it's like what happened that game. Chris Bryant just jacks one off the wall, and then the next pitch is you know, Bryce Harper makes a valiant effort, but it just pops out of his glove.
Yeah,
extra run comes in. You know, just those little things that just completely change. You know, when you watch it, you know, there's two outs, you know, earlier in this Yankees Indians game, you know, a triple, you know, by Kipnis, and he's stranded on third base because just, you know, Lindor swings at Encarnacion swings at a bad pitch. And, you know, it's just interesting how all of a sudden that could have changed and it could have been a 4-run inning. You know, you've probably seen so many games that have turned on a flare, right?
Yeah, yeah. You talk about momentum in all sports, right? How it works. And in baseball, in football, I guess it happens on a play, but maybe it's more of a series or something happens. But I'm telling you, in baseball, it comes down to just a pitch, you know, and just the result of a pitch that can all of a sudden, you know, kind of fire up a team or get a pitcher in a place that he doesn't want to be. It's, you know, I know it's not as action packed as most of the other sports that we talk about on the Stare Down, but for some reason, of all the sports to go to live, for me, it's a baseball game. A really well played baseball game is a lot of fun.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, Sean, a couple things come to mind. Hit them where they ain't, right? I mean, a rally to get any rally started. I mean, guys will put on their hats sideways and crooked, and any walk, any pass ball, any flare, as you said. The beauty of baseball, and I think we've talked about it, is there's no clock. There's no clock. And it is so hard to get those crucial outs. I mean, defense holds the ball, right? The only sport where defense has the ball. And you're pitching, and the pitcher's got to pitch good pitches, and the defense has got to get behind them. So it's never over, literally, until the final out. So
that was impressive right there. Lindor, I think it's 380 to get it out of Yankee Stadium, and he hit 379.5.
Ooh.
Aaron Judge reached up over the wall and stopped it from going out. Yep, would have been a homer. So all right, let's turn to Bills, the late night series. Bills kind of Bills milieu.
the Clayton, Bill I wish I was living in Mountain Time.
Clayton Kershaw, who starter in game one and probable starter in game four. They're not probable, will be the starter in game four, obviously.
If there's a game, if necessary.
Clayton Kershaw has a bigger payroll than the entire starting lineup of the Arizona Diamondbacks the other day.
Yes,
unbelievable.
Pretty impressive stat. Bill, give us your I've been in the National League West my whole life review of the game. It's 2-game lead right now for the Dodgers, as expected.
Yeah. Yeah. I thought that Robbie Ray pitched, you know, game one, it's Kershaw. What are you going to do? Justin Turner comes up, hits a home run in the bottom of the first. It's 3-0 that fast.
Seems like it's over early. Right?
It's kind of over. Yeah, you got to get to those guys early. But, boy, Robbie Ray just came out, you know, on fire last night. And Rich Hill was on the ropes. And, you know, the D-backs took a 2-0 lead. But, man, the Dodgers kept chipping away. And then what do you know, an 8-5 victory and down 0-2. You talk about the National League West. I remember being down 0-2 in a National League Championship Series in 1984. The Pods lost the first two in Chicago. And because the Cubbies had put light, didn't have lights at Wrigley Field, they had set it up that they would play the first two, then the final three straight in San Diego. And so the Padres swept them at home, one of the first teams ever to come back from 0-2 in the NLCS when it was a five-game series to go to the World Series against the Detroit Lions, who had won more games than any team to that
point. Is this 84? 1984?
Yeah, the 35-5.
I was going to say, they started out 35-5.
35-5, yes.
I remember that.
Yeah. Tigers, Lions, yeah.
I'm sorry.
Bill, do I remember correctly, before baseball realignment, weren't my Atlanta Braves in the NL West?
They were, absolutely, yeah.
Yeah. I remember the 10:05, 10:35 starts, LA, San Diego.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah, just way, like.
I think TBS started those 05 starts. You know that, right?
They did, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. The 7:05s and 7:35s, TBS wanted that little time to bring Skip or whoever on to, you know, chat things up. But I, the NL West and, realignment made a big difference for travel for a lot of different teams. And that's the Pascual Perez, that whole thing, because the Padres played the Braves a good, I don't know what, if it was 17 to 19 or probably 13 times a year, you know, you had to have a, you kind of could get bad blood going. And that's what happened back then.
Yeah. Claudio Washington, Rafael Ramirez, all those boys. I remember. So
Claudio Washington, the guy that had like a coat hanger for shoulders. That
yeah.
Square shoulders. I ever remember. Yeah. Claudio.
So Ted Turner's philosophy was start everything at 05. So you have 5 minutes to flip around the dial and realize nothing's on. And then you go to TBS. That was, I read it. That was his philosophy. So,
wow, that's great.
Yeah, pretty cool. Yeah. Pretty cool.
Cool.
Which I think we can all agree is not always opposite of what we're doing, right? Flipping through.
Yeah.
Rerun. Let's go to this.
Right? Yeah.
All right, guys, let's turn to college first. We'll finish with the NFL. Just do what we did last week. We'll roll through the top 25 in chronological order. Thursday night, NC State beats Louisville. In Raleigh. I was in Raleigh that night. I didn't go to the game, but NC State kind of living up to the preseason expectations they had, maybe forgetting that the season started against South Carolina, losing that game in Charlotte. They may look back at that game and wonder, but NC State, ranked 24, stopped Lamar Jackson, and I think that pretty much ended any Lamar Jackson repeat Heisman discussion. Let's roll through the top 25 in order. And you guys just give me your thoughts. Alabama goes to Texas A&M and wins 27-19, a little sloppy in the second half with a blocked punt, and some dropped passes. Nick Saban will not be happy about that. Do you guys have a chance to watch any of that game?
I did not, but was shocked at the score, right? I thought that, what was the number there, Todd?
30 was almost 25.
Yeah. Wow.
No, maybe not 35, maybe 25.
20, yeah.
20-point favorite.
Something like that. Yeah.
But the over, I think, the over-under was, I think, like 40-something, wasn't it, Todd?
Yeah, I can look real quick. So I'm not trying to take anything away from Alabama, but in my head, they can't go 3 weeks of just putting 50 on teams. So I play tennis Saturday mornings. I was talking to my guys. One of my guys on my team is this Texas A&M guy. And I just told him, I said, it's going to be closer than you think. Alabama still wins. I'm not sure even I thought it would be 27-19, but I wasn't surprised. And it was just one of those hunches because I thought, you know, gosh, if Alabama goes 3 weeks putting 50 on a good team, then, you know, wow. So it was a 25.5 spread and the over-under was 56.5.
Wow.
But yeah, now, I think Texas A&M's not bad. I think they're not a bad team. So,
God, coming off two almost 60-point outbursts,
yes, sir.
You know, one of the things that Nick Saban and most college coaches pride themselves on, Urban Meyer is the same thought process. If they can be pretty much 50-50 run pass, they're happy with that. I think going into this game, they had no intentions of trying to score lots of points. They just wanted to win and get out of. They were 2-1 rushing versus passing. They only threw 22 passes, 44 rushes. I think it was very obvious what they were trying to do is just work clock, not give A&M the ball. They knew that their strength is just working clock and scoring. You saw the big touchdown run after A&M went up 3-0. So interesting that they, you know, you don't see a lot of times in a win like that a 2-1 margin on run versus pass, unless you're talking about Navy or Army or something like that.
Well, every defensive coordinator wants to make an offense one-dimensional, right? I mean, the reason offenses are successful is because they're balanced. They have a running attack, a passing attack, with the exception of Georgia Tech, Navy, those guys that run the triple option. So that surprised me. They're 2-1. Not taking away anything away from Alabama, but can you imagine if they had? I think Jalen Hurts is an excellent athlete. I link him a little with Lamar Jackson, but going back to that NC State game, the NC State quarterback may play on Sundays at quarterback. Lamar Jackson may be a receiver in the NFL, right? And I kind of feel the same way about Jalen Hurts. He's leading Alabama, but not a true prototype quarterback, if you will. So they keep winning until they lose. It's hard to not think they're going to go all the way.
A lot of the early bowl predictions are already calling for a three-peat rematch, much like in the NBA.
Yeah, it's hard not to at this point, right?
Speaking of Clemson, they went 28-14, kind of a sleepwalk against Wake Forest. Todd, I want to get to the game that I did not have a chance to see except for the last play of the game as we were walking through the tailgate at South Carolina. Iowa State upsets Oklahoma. One of those early kickoff in the central time zone in a game that really should have been I'm not even sure what the line on this was, 25 maybe?
31.
Wow. Sounds like you were maybe watching part of this game. Tell us what happened in this game. How did Baker Mayfield and Oklahoma lose? And not only did they lose, they lost at home.
So here's this type of game was on my back burner radar, right? And as the game kept going, you see, God, Iowa State's hanging around. So it's 31-point favorite. And, oh, by the way, Iowa State was starting and playing their third-string quarterback, right? Yeah, their third-string quarterback, who actually and please correct me, whoever's listening, I think he played both ways. He's the middle linebacker he's quarterback that's been transferred to be in the middle linebacker, and he's also played quarterback. So I believe, 90% sure, this guy played both ways. Not the full game, obviously, but in the past, he's actually played defense. So third-string quarterback, they just hung around. It was a typical – if you hang around long enough and get in the fourth quarter, anything can happen. Iowa State scored with 3 minutes left to go ahead, and Oklahoma could not answer. And after the game, it's unfortunate because I wish they would have left it alone, but I can't blame them. The Iowa State guys planted the flag on the Oklahoma 50-yard line, similar to what Baker did. And again, I wish they kind of would have been rose above it, but I couldn't blame them, and I kind of chuckled when I saw it. So,
yeah. Bill, were you surprised by that score?
Oh, my gosh. And I'm looking at it right now, Todd. You're right. Yeah, the quarterback, he switched to linebacker this offseason because there were a couple quarterbacks in front of him. So he only thrown two passes this season in game action, probably at the end of a game somewhere. So, yeah. Look, Oklahoma was a done deal. Well, first of all, Oklahoma State was supposed to be the team coming out of Big 12. And one of you said it. They're done. Who's left that's going to be in the Final Four?
Sean said the Big 12 is in trouble, right?
TCU maybe can backdoor in. I mean, they're at 8 right now.
Yeah.
Once again, they got to play Oklahoma. They got to play Oklahoma State.
They'll lose one of those games. They'll lose one of those, right? I mean,
which we're going to get to my tie of a bow on this conversation in just a second. Penn State wins against Northwestern. Georgia looked impressive against Vandy. Jumped out 14-0 early. Georgia will move up into the top four, two SEC teams in the top four, and really setting up a collision course for the SEC championship possibly. But Todd, you and I know Georgia too well. They're going to lose a game at some point in the season. That's their MO. It doesn't matter who their coach is. That's just part of their situation. So Washington wins impressively. The game I want to get to is the game. If you guys happen to see the rain game in Michigan last night, it was the national game. ABC, Michigan State beats Michigan in the Big House.
Wow.
And to put the bow on the Oklahoma, you go back a couple weeks, and I think after the big win at Ohio State, you know, people were like, pencil them in for the playoffs. Michigan sitting pretty. You know, they got, I believe they have Penn State at home this week, this year. They got Ohio State at home. You know, you're circling them. Two teams, I don't think going into yesterday, I don't think you would have many parlays on Iowa State and Michigan State winning. Not, I mean, you're the gambler in the group. Would anyone have been betting that parlay of those two teams on the road to beat two playoff favorites? And that's what college football does. All these people that are saying, pencil in this for the playoffs, Clemson or Alabama is probably going to lose because that's what happens in college football. You know, you might have four teams in the playoffs with one loss because that's what happens in college football. It just is college kids playing a game with coaches who maybe are overpaid for what they're doing. What'd you guys think of that Michigan-Michigan State game last night? Because it was a sloppy, sloppy game.
I'll defer to you, Todd. I didn't see any of it, and I was out. So
Sean, I'm from a family of attorneys. So although I follow the lines, I will not concede that I'm a gambler. So let's just get on the record. So that game was, first of all, Sparty, right? They were in the Final Four 2 years ago. Last year they went 3-9. No one gave them any credit to anything this year. And they're quietly, 4-1? Right in the hunt. I mean, Wisconsin is in the West, and they've pretty much almost sewn it up already. That East, Big Ten East, is going to be a juggernaut. So they were fortunate, I think, Michigan State, to have the lead when the weather came, because there was going to be no scoring after. I mean,
Did you see when they showed the radar of the storm coming in?
I mean, literally, jerseys were like flags in the wind. I mean, these are like tight offensive lineman jerseys, and they just get blown around the rain. I'm not a big fan, but you have to give credit. I heard Paul Feinbaum talking about this. Other than Nick Saban, and he mentioned one other coach I can't remember, but Jim Harbaugh, what he's done to bring Michigan back into relevancy, back into the national spotlight, kudos to him. But that's a game they should have won. And, God, who's the guy who put $100 on Iowa State and Michigan State? Mm. How much money did he win on that parlay? I mean, that must be a huge payday. So.
Yes. I want to point out I don't know if you guys listen to Dan Le Batard at all. I've talked about him a couple of times. I think he's funny. I get the show, but he loves there are some hardcore football guys on that show who love to sit around and try to convince him this is what's going to happen in the game this weekend. He flat out says all the experts, nobody knows what's going to happen. Nobody knows. They might have an idea that they might be able to, you know, talk, you know, with some sort of level of expertise because either they played or it's what they do for a living, but nobody knows. And look, it happened in the NFL today too. We'll talk about that shortly. You never know.
Mm-hmm. Right.
No. Yeah. I love that. I love that sports, right?
You know? And I think that'll, we can talk about it when it comes to our game, Sean, the Florida LSU game for sure.
Yeah. Oof. Very quickly, TCU wins at home over West Virginia. That was the only matchup of ranked teams. Wisconsin beats Nebraska to pretty much, as Todd said, maybe possibly seal up the West.
It's theirs to lose, right?
Ohio State wins big and really is, you know, getting back into the conversation with Oklahoma losing. But although Oklahoma losing sort of hurts Ohio State more than it helps Ohio State.
Don't sleep on Ohio State. They'll be right in the thick of it. It's amazing. I want to write them off, but you can't write them off.
Remember, I said it earlier in the season. Urban Meyer's lost two bowl games in his career, and he's come back to win the national championship both years.
Wow.
Washington State wins a big one at Oregon, which, by the way, our troll tweet of the week was from Mike Leach. Did you happen to see his little soundbite? I think I tagged you guys in it, where when they asked him at the press conference, Autzen Stadium, you know, they were going in to play at Oregon. They said, Autzen Stadium's one of the loudest stands you've been to, right? Did you see his response?
Now, what did he say?
Bill, did you see it?
I did not. Go ahead.
Oh, we should have you splice in the soundbite from it right here, because he basically said, well, Oklahoma's loud and Nebraska's loud. And he rolled through like 19 stadiums that were loud. In fact, he even said, like, South Carolina's loud. At least that one end zone is where the students sit. Florida's louder. LSU's louder. Mississippi State, if you count the cowbells, is louder.
Wow.
He went through like 19 schools in his monotone voice, and even said, in fact, Arkansas State, it's like this concrete stadium, and it sounds like you're playing a football game in your neighbor's basement. And you know, and he talked about there's only 45,000 students there, but because of the concrete, it's like five times as loud. So 45,000 times five is like almost 250,000, and that's louder than 100,000. It was classic Mike Leach.
He's one of those miserable funny guys, right?
Right.
The whole soundbite you're trying to figure out, is he being serious or not? But the whole point was, I'm not going to give Oregon any credit. They win big there.
He should have just said no, right? The answer should have been no.
Auburn's starting to hit on all cylinders, 44-23.
Watch out for Auburn. Yeah.
How about the finish in Tallahassee? Miami, Florida State. It's Todd, fill me in. They were on the 29-yard line, I believe. So they were in field goal territory, down three.
Mm-hmm.
And Rick calls a timeout.
Yep.
Trying to decide what they're going to do. Are they going to center the ball in the middle of the field for the field goal kicker? Are they going to go for it one time? They only had, I think, 6 seconds. They only had 13 seconds left. So they were basically this play plus a field goal. They throw to the sideline. Perfect throw. Back shoulder catch. Guy gets in, knee touches the ground as the ball's across the finish line. Before you talk, Todd or Bill, is it time that we start putting a camera on the goal line instead of these angles to try and figure out, okay, if his knee's down there, is the ball forward? Anyway, don't take anything away from it. It was like a 7-minute review. Miami wins on a last second touchdown to send Florida State to 1-3. Mm. Todd. Your floor.
Well, you stole my thunder. You described exactly how I would have described it. It was just the classic back shoulder pass, right? I mean, he threw it. His guy catches it or it's dropped. No harm, no foul. No way to be intercepted. What a perfect pitch and catch. And to answer your question about the goal line camera, I don't think it was needed. I thought it was pretty clear.
I did too. That's why I was surprised it took so long.
I think they're just being extra careful, being the last play. And then it starts to be a little of a brain tease. You're like, all right, are they calculating where the clock should be, where the ball should be spotted? So, but as I watched it the fourth and fifth time, I'm like, there's no way. I mean, at worst, the play stands. But I think they confirmed the touchdown. God, I can't believe I'm getting mellow and soft in my old age, but it'd be so easy to pile on Florida State being 1-3, but you know, as much as we make fun of them next year, they'll be relevant again next year. I actually predicted them to be a Final Four, winning the ACC. Boy, was I wrong! But again, all the Gator and ACC fans out there, if you pile on too hard, Jimbo Fisher won't be down long. I think they're just going through a rough season. They'll probably still end up, you know, 8-4 or whatever they'll end up. So, which isn't great for FSU, but. Anyway,
let's hear from the Florida native, Bill, or not the Florida native.
Transplant.
Yeah. Okay. I'm going to talk more about USF and UCF, you know, both ranked.
Okay.
And, you know, I'm just kidding. And pretty soon Florida and Florida State both won't be ranked, right?
Miami 5-0, by the way, right?
Yeah. I mean, you know, so it's
quietly 5-0. Yeah.
Miami, once again, Sullivan, you know, all of a sudden put Clemson under some pressure to beat a, you know, ranked team and see how they do.
Right. You never know.
For the rest of the top 25, USC wins, Virginia Tech wins. San Diego State beats a UNLV team that was, thinking elsewhere. Stanford has the one of the few upsets in the top 20, beats Utah. Notre Dame wins. Todd didn't watch a single snap of it. I was at the South Carolina-Arkansas game with my daughter for Parents Weekend. Big win by the Gamecocks, by the way, and it's nice to always fun to go to a college game in person, which Bill will get a good recap from you as the first timer at the Swamp. We're going to talk about a couple things in this game. Todd, fill us in on LSU Florida, and then we're going to talk about a special moment that happened in this game.
All right, two things real quick. UNLV did a great tribute to outside of their stadium to what happened last week. Also, Notre Dame, don't sleep on them. God, Georgia beat them early, and they're starting to play good football. So LSU, Florida. Bill, you'll love this, being a baseball superstition guy, right? Mm-hmm. So I almost blame myself for the loss. So I'm watching the game, and God, Florida's just averages grits. I even think they're down, what, 17-3? And my son, Scott, 14 going on 15, was at the Cumming Fairgrounds for the annual fair. So he had a text, "Hey, Dad, can you come pick me up?" I'm like, sure. You know, I go, A, I'm not going to leave him stranded, and B, you know, if this game's going nowhere, I'm not even mad. So I go through the dial on SiriusXM, find on channel 131. I hear the friendly voice of the Gators, Mick Hubert. And long story short, by the time I pull into the garage, it's 17-16. As I'm opening the door, our great kicker, Eddie Pinero, misses the extra point. Now, I think it was an awkward snap and an awkward hold, but he still missed the extra point. So I'm like, all right, 17-16, there's a quarter and 5 minutes to play. I go back to watching it on TV, and the game ended 17-16.
It was your fault. Yeah.
I'm thinking, I apologize to all the Gator fans.
Yeah. You should have turned around and walked right back at the door when you missed the extra point. I mean, that's a no-brainer.
Yeah, yeah. Shame on me, right? Shame on me.
But they score two touchdowns in the third quarter. They look great. They're moving the ball. What happens in the fourth quarter? I guess adjustments or just, you know what happens? Football happens, right?
So the problem is, and Sean's been watching this team, even though he didn't watch it yesterday, but so we're missing 15 scholarship players. That's got to hurt a little bit. Yeah. That said, no excuses. That's done. I think we still have good talent. I'm just still questioning the coaching, the play calling. We're not going to win any titles this year. I would, I think I said it last week, 2 weeks ago, let Felipe Franks, we need to know at the end of this year whether he's our guy or not, right? We got the great prospect out of California, Sean, you probably know his name, Matt, is it Carroll? Coral. He tweeted out saying, you know, hey, love the Gators. You know, we fought hard, so he's not going anywhere. We got it coming. So I just think, I hate to be this fan, but I think I question the play calling and the coaching, even though we're down those guys. But still, it's just vanilla, boring. I miss the fun and gun, don't you, Sean? God.
Yeah.
So anyway.
Yep.
So talk about what they did between the third and fourth quarter.
Yeah, so Bill, you're gonna get a chance to see it next week. At the end of the third quarter, home and away, the Florida fans that are in the stadium, whether the band's there or not, tradition is we sing a song called "We Are the Boys from Old Florida," and pretty much everyone in the stands that's from a Florida fan puts their arms around each other and you sway back and forth, kind of opposite the rows. You just kind of pick up and you just go opposite, and so it's not our alma mater. And it's not our
fight song. It's just
it's just a traditional song.
Great tradition. Yeah, great.
Like, we are the boys from all Florida, down where the old Gators play. And everybody cheers. And it happens whether we're losing or winning. It's always a tradition. Well, this week with our Gainesville's native Tom Petty dying, it was kind of cool because the administration said instead of a moment of silence, which doesn't make sense for a rock and roller for 40-plus years, to have a moment of silence. So instead we should have a sing-along. So they, as soon as We Are the Boys from Old Florida finished, they piped in the song I Won't Back Down, one of Tom Petty's kind of anthems. And the entire crowd sang along with it. And it was just a really cool, if you've seen it on social media, and I'm sure most people have by now, how you don't get chills watching that. It's really any concert you go to, Zac Brown Band, Kenny Chesney, anyone, when they do that sing and call back from the audience, it's always that cool moment where the fans just want to be part of the concert. And that was a cool moment. Bill, did you see it? Have you seen the clip?
I have seen the clip. It's great.
What do you think as an outsider to not ever been in that stadium yet? What'd you think of what you saw and what you kind of heard?
Oh, I mean, you know, that's just pure emotion. That's great. I think that's, you know, I know that, I've experienced something similar, you know, in the world of the Padres. I talked about it where, you know, losing Tony Gwynn and Jerry Coleman in the same year, I was at a game where they honored Jerry Coleman, actually, who was the longtime broadcaster, an ex-Yankee player. And, you know, there were a couple of key catchphrases that the crowd was yelling at. And it was just, you know, "Oh, Dr. Hang a Star on that, baby." And, you know, it's this place where you get to have this, you know, this moment. You know, and it was really fun to watch. And this was 85,000 people having that moment. So that was very cool.
Yeah. Todd, what'd you think?
Sean, again, the goosebumps analogy that you just said was, you know, you just watch it and, you know, just you're quiet watching, you're in awe, you wish you were there. But when you listen to words, it's actually kind of a cool no brainer. I know in Wisconsin, they do jump around and the fans really, it's more of a celebration, but when you hear the words, it's kind of cool. I mean, whether we're winning or losing, you know, we're not going to back down. So again, it's bittersweet now, but I think moving forward, what a great new, you know, twist to the third, fourth quarter tradition that we already do. So
yeah, now, have you heard, are they going to make that a tradition? Are they going to keep doing it?
Yeah. So fans were tweeting, is it Scott Strickland? Is that our AD, Sean?
Correct. Yes.
And they said, hey, can we do this every week? And he responded, absolutely. So Bill, when you're there next week, you should be a part of it. Don't go to the bathroom between the third and fourth quarter. You gotta
And
Sean, we need to send him the lyrics for We Are the Boys. Maybe he can brush up on it.
There we go.
Yeah.
I've got to go find some gear. I'm gonna find a nice, you know, golf shirt, golf shirt, a nice gator cap. I'm gonna be fully decked out when I get there. I'm talking to Trey Rogers online right now. We're coordinating getting together. We found out it's a 7 o'clock start, so that means we're not even sure what time we're going to get there, but I know what time we're getting home.
Yeah.
Really late.
Late. Well, hey, so looking ahead to the next week before we get to the NFL, so the Georgia Tech-Miami game that was supposed to be a Thursday night game was postponed because Miami and Florida State made up their earlier in the season. Clemson plays that unique Friday night matchup. And Washington State plays on Friday versus Cal. So,
who's Clemson play? BC?
At Syracuse.
Syracuse, okay.
Yep. As far as looking ahead to games for next week that might have any intrigue, just scrolling through the lineup really quick. South Carolina at Tennessee, coming off a week off, so we'll see if Tennessee can bounce back. And South Carolina coming off of dropping 48 points on Arkansas.
Whooping, yeah.
Auburn at LSU. So once again, there's another test for the Tigers. Tigers versus Tigers going into that game.
Which Tigers, right?
Yeah, right. Oklahoma, Texas, Red River Shootout.
Is that a noon game? Usually it's a noon game, right?
It's 3:30 on ESPN's.
Okay.
And just see if there's any other matchups of top 25 teams. Ohio State plays Nebraska. Doesn't look like there's any other big matchup. So gonna be a quiet week next week in football. All right, guys, let's turn to the NFL. I'm gonna hand the conversation over to Bill to maybe pick his highlights of the day because I didn't see a single thing. I drove 785 miles from Columbia to St. Louis.
That's all? Where?
Yeah, come on.
How many states?
Yeah.
Six states. I crossed four major rivers, including the Ohio and the Mississippi. I went through the remnants of Nate, which is always fun when you're driving on the freeway to drive through driving rain with a truck spitting up and, you know, slow down. But a lot especially of podcasts listening. So,
especially, so especially at your age.
Exactly. I'm going to turn it over to you, Bill, and let you guide the conversation because I do know some of the scores. But I'm interested to hear what you guys think of what happened in the on the field today.
I watched a little bit, Bill. So
Let's start with Thursday's recap of the game at Raymond James, Bill.
First of all, my very first time at Ray J, it was a night game during the week with rush hour traffic and the Patriots and a sellout. So it took us and me not knowing any kind of a secret side way. You know how you kind of get to know a place, you know your way around. It took me and Bill, Bill Counts together with the game with me. It took us an hour and a half to go 2 miles to park.
Wow.
Yeah. So it was.
It would have taken you 40 minutes to walk, right?
Yeah. Well, we could have been in a problem. Yeah. So we missed the first 3 or 4 minutes of the game. We got to our seats pretty quick. And first of all, I've been there and done that. I grew up in San Diego, and then I lived in Phoenix. I know that fans of other teams leave their godforsaken areas that they hate living in and come to the beautiful places like San Diego, Phoenix, and Tampa to escape all that stuff, that weather, and just the horrid places they live. So I get there are going to be a lot of fans there, but I am not lying. I sent some snaps and some tweets and stuff. There were times where I could not see a Bucks fan in front of me. I saw nothing but Patriot fans and number 12 everywhere. There was a Drew Bledsoe jersey. I gave that guy major props. I thought that was kind of cool. But it's just so tough to watch that. And then to have your field goal kicker miss three field goals, to have that game actually come down to the final play. I mean, Jameis did a great job of driving down. We had one final shot from about the 20, 15 or 20. It falls incomplete, and then every Patriot fan goes nuts and whatever. That's it. So Bill, that's it for that game.
Well, Bill, you know why, right? Because, like, you can sell your ticket to a guy from Massachusetts and make such money, and that's why people do it, right? I mean, they can make their whole season up selling two or three games and go to – four or five, right?
Lots of teams have changed that. You know, the Raiders and the Chargers were a big deal with the Chargers because Raiders would come in mass down to San Diego, Raider fans, and even local Raider fans when they were in L.A. They set it up that if you wanted to buy a ticket to a Raider game, you had to buy four other tickets. That was kind of cool. So it made you buy this mini season ticket plan.
Right.
Now teams are watching and penalizing, you know, season ticket holders who routinely sell their tickets. And they're having conversations with them. Now, I don't know if you can do that. I don't know what that means. Yeah, it's a free country.
There's so much that can be done when you're showing your ticket on the phone to know what time you've checked in, whether you sold the ticket or not. Yeah. You know.
They know. Hey,
all I know is I've been to a Thursday night game in the old Sombrero. Two words for Thursday night games in Tampa. Mons, Venus.
Wow.
drove right by it on Dale Mabry on the way home. Are you kidding me? You're so funny.
Wow. Or Odyssey 3000.
Wow. So this might get back to corporate. So I move on. Let's move on.
A lot of those, either those Tampa fans sold their tickets, Todd, and went there, or the New England fans stayed and got they didn't see the lobster bib around the strippers' necks like they see up in Boston.
I had a great story from the game. I was given, you know, whenever Brady gets hit, he got hit a lot in that game. I don't know if you noticed.
Yeah.
His offensive line sucks. And so he's just got pounded. And I remember at one point I screamed out something like, I think they broke him in half. And I'm yelling, you know, and the kid in front of me, two Patriots fans in front of me, one was probably his teenager, late teens. And I after I had my fun, I sat down and I tapped him on the shoulder and I said, hey, I got to tell you, I'm having a lot of fun here just yelling at him. That dude's the greatest of all time. And he goes,
yeah,
he is, huh? I go, yeah, he is. So, you know, just to get the kid, just to let the kid know it's all in fun. Can I ask you guys a question? This is totally off topic, but this is what we're all about, right? So two rows in front of me were two Tampa Bay season ticket holders. We're in the club seats. We had really nice seats. And they decided to stand up pretty early in the game, and they were going to stand for the game. You could tell they had that attitude about them. And the two guys directly behind them were bigger guys who probably didn't want to stand. I mean, they even just the act of standing might not feel good. They're big guys. And so the question starts about, hey, can you sit down? Do you mind sitting down? Hey, do you want to sit down? And I get it. I you know, there's two sides to that story, right? But so I want to tell you what I did and how I handled it. You want your take. So the guy turns around and says, hey, I bought these tickets. I can stand if I want. And I looked at him and I go, you are absolutely right. You're absolutely right. And he's like, yeah. And I go, now sit down. And the whole place cracked up, you know, around us because of what it was. But it just seems like kind of a jerky, douchey move, you know, in the club seats. I get it if you're out by the pirate ship or, you know, you're in a certain section, it makes sense. Maybe some stadiums still have that problem down low where you almost have to stand and look over the players. But, you know, it was very interesting. And by the next minute or two, they kind of calmed down and sat the rest of the game and jumped up during a play, which we all do, right? But what's your take on that guy?
I'm 100% in your camp. Okay. You buy that seat, you have the right to do whatever you want.
Right.
But, okay, great. Sit down. So, Sean, do you remember our good buddy in South Florida, Tom Sandberg?
I do.
He's, of course you do. He's one of your best friends from college. So he was a stander, right? And luckily, and Sean, I'm not trying to be disrespectful. He's what, 5'6" on his tippy toes? So maybe that wasn't as bad, but right. I'm with you, Bill. Like, hey, spontaneous get up, big play, right? Third and two, stand up and clap. Everyone's, but just to stand, just because like I bought this space and I can do what I want. I'm with you.
I'm anticipating standing the entire game at the Swamp. I'm going to a college game. It's a different mindset. I'm not going to be upset if people are standing because
just depends where you're at. Depends on where you're at.
Yeah, it depends on. And it's funny because as soon as they call a timeout or they go to TV timeout, everybody sits down. Right. And then the game back on. You stand back up. And
yeah, no problem with that. No problem.
I agree with you, Bill, 100%. You know, I've probably been that fan as an immature, you know, youth that stands up and just is arrogant. I've been in stands where the visitors, you know, who just happen to buy two tickets from someone on the street, and they end up right in the middle of a bunch of fans. They're really not, you know, if those people are respectful, I think that's the best way to handle it. It's when those people are like, screw you, you know, yeah. You know, that yeah. it's not going to end well. Someone's going to throw a beer on them. Someone's going to throw a soda on them. You know, they get a bad taste in their mouth about the fan base there. And it's just, you know, each one of us represents all of us in sports, but it's, I agree with you, Bill. I think Todd does as well. And it's, you know, and there's a time to be that fan. But we'll see. So what else happened?
Yeah, so wrap up that. It was a great game. I mean, it was a lot of fun. The stadium was really cool. Can't wait to go back. In a regular kind of time frame where it's not, you know, fighting rush hour traffic in the middle of Tampa. So very cool. Yeah, it was. Hey, go ahead.
30-second story. I may or not be a – may or may not be a silent partner in a – pool where you have 10,000 points at the beginning of the season and you can bet points every year. End of the season, 1 through 20 breaks, you know, wins money, 20 through 40 breaks even, 40 through 60 owes money, right? So this week's choice, and I'm a silent partner, Bill, or also, to, you know, yeah, talk sure. about you. It was Patriots minus 3.5 and the under.
Mm.
So remember how that game ended?
Yes, I do.
Why the Patriots kicked that field goal, I have no idea, but I was so glad that they did. I was just like, they're going to run the clock out. You're going to lose by two, right?
Yeah, that was interesting because they missed that field goal. They gave them an incredible field position with a field goal to lose. I mean,
with a good defense who hadn't been given anything up, right? Yeah, so that was one of those moments I'm like, they're not going to kick. Oh, my God, they're going to kick. And then if you remember the kick, it was going to slide right. It looked like it was sliding right. And
hooked back.
And then it just kind of knuckled back in. Yes. Anyway.
Thanks for reminding me.
Bill. I'm a silent partner. I may or may not be a silent partner.
So let me run down real quick. I think Sean asked me to do this 20 minutes ago. First of all, the team that shall not be named got their first win against the Giants. So there's this, the two 0-5 teams. Or 0-4 teams.
Right? And the Giants have no receivers left. Four receivers got hurt today.
Odell Beckham's out for the year. They said broke his ankle, shattered his ankle. He's in.
Yeah.
Oh, so, really?
Yeah. He's out.
Bad injury. Bad.
ODB's gone.
Oh, really tough. ODB, yeah, he died. OBJ.
Nice, Bill. Nice. Right, you are a gangster.
Sorry.
The 50-plus white guy throws out the TV reference. Well,
thank
done.
You very much. So let's run down a couple of things. The New York Jets are 3-2. I didn't think they were going to win one game the whole year. They're 3-2, tied for first.
The Browns did everything wrong that game.
Yeah,
I don't know if you listened to it. They had two or three turnovers on the goal line, missed field goals. That's just a hard team to root for. 0-5 Browns. Yeah. Wow.
Yeah. Thank God the Indians are playing well, although they just gave a home run. Yeah.
Cardinals humiliated by the Eagles. 34-7. Wow. Yeah. So I don't really know what happened there because, once again,
it was over early. I mean, it was an early lead by the Eagles, and they never gave it up. Yeah.
Never came back. Yeah. Colts and Niners. It used to be something, you know. Colts and Niners, that'd be a great game. Yeah. You go to overtime. Yeah.
0-5 San Francisco, right?
Yeah, unbelievable. What else? Oh, how about this looks like a misprint, even though I know it's true. Jacksonville 30, Steelers 9 in Pittsburgh.
Five interceptions, Ben.
Unbelievable. Right.
Five interceptions is like unheard of in the NFL.
Right. Oh yeah. No, Phillip Rivers can do it every now and then. But
I mean, he also throws it 70 times. I mean,
right, true. That's true.
That's true.
And then one of the afternoon games I watched this game was the Packers just coming back. Aaron Rodgers doing what Aaron Rodgers does best. I mean, Zeke and Dak drive down, and they eat up 8.5 minutes of the clock to like end the game with this touchdown.
And you hear Aikman saying too much time.
Yeah. Aikman said when he threw a pass in back in the end zone for who was that for? For Dez. And Aikman said, That's too soon. You just stopped the clock. What are you thinking? You had to let it run down. And sure enough, left a minute 13, and Aaron Rodgers scored with 11 seconds left in the game.
Yeah.
If they'd have just let that thing run a little longer, he would not have had enough time. Just unbelievable.
If it wasn't for Brady, Aaron Rodgers is just the greatest of this era if it wasn't for Brady, right?
Yeah, but that's a Phil Mickelson argument, right?
It is.
Couples, I mean, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, listen, we can say for another day, but the Patriots have been very fortunate. They've earned everything they've got. They had the greatest comeback of all time against the Falcons. They jumped the route against Seattle. I mean, that's two Super Bowl wins that they earned and deserve.
Yeah.
Good God. I mean, Aaron Rodgers is a great quarterback. Tom Brady's the GOAT.
Yeah, I agree.
What a great quarterback Aaron Rodgers is, right?
No, I mean, Aaron Rodgers, I mean, did you see him coming off the field? I got to the hotel and I was watching the OT. When he comes off the field, he's like, that's what we do. And it's just, you know, and every single person on the post-game shows, you guys both just said it here. As soon as that happens, you're thinking there's too much time on the clock.
Erin Andrews, you see her interview afterwards.
She said,
you really like Dallas. Maybe you should buy some property down here. He goes, well, I wish the Super Bowl was here every year because he won his last one in Dallas. So,
Bill, being a California boy, is there more a quintessential California boy than Aaron Rodgers?
No.
Being in the Midwest, I mean, what a cool customer, laid back.
Yeah.
He just delivers, and he's cocky, but quietly cocky, right?
And I still laugh at discount double check. So,
mm-hmm.
Todd, to circle back on the reference you made last week, looks like the Dolphins might have to wait one more week to pop a cork because Kansas City.
Oh, they're up big.
Looking good. I mean, yeah.
How's the over looking? May or may not be working.
23-7. So
30 on the board right now. So 23-7. What's the over under?
Oh, 42 maybe. My alleged silent partners may be happy about that.
So Deshaun Watson, we'll see what he does in the second half to bring him back. But Casey,
he's gonna be good. Deshaun, yeah. He's gonna be good.
And tomorrow night the game is Minnesota Chicago. So one of the AFC or NFC North, conferences. Chicago, not a good team. Minnesota needs a win.
Trubisky, is that his name? He's getting a start for Chicago.
Yeah.
And I need Adam Thielen and Zach Miller to have good games. I'm just saying.
Dalvin Cook is out for the year, right?
Done. Yeah.
Out for the season. Wow. All right, guys. Well, hey, a long episode tonight, but a lot of stuff to talk about. We can raise a glass, I guess, for Tom Petty and all the – Great songs. You know, it's one of those things with a rock and roller, you'll never not have Tom Petty at your fingertips. I mean, that's the cool thing is every time you hear it, and boy, when you just go through the catalog of songs, there's just so many good songs. You know, I mean, you know, come up with a top 10. We were kind of texting offline guys, like favorite top five songs. And it's like, well, here's my first top five. And here's my second top five. And here's my third top five. Here's my Tuesday top five, and here's my Wednesday top five.
You're missing it a little bit, Sean, because I said favorite Petty song.
Exactly.
And I named three, and you named eight, and Bill's like, whoa, what's going on?
I named one, but I'll tell you what, I have a B-side that I heard on the Sirius station that I loved. It was hilarious. It's just a typical kind of bluesy riff. It's a very funny song. It was called Girl on LSD.
I've never heard that, yeah.
Great. It's hilarious. It's just a funny song they play. It's a live version that I heard when they were playing it at a concert somewhere. Someone asked for it. I can't remember what it's a B-side to, but it goes way back, and it's a very funny song. So,
hey, if you ever get his box set, there's a song called Depot Street, which is it's a road back in old Gainesville, and it's just a great song. But it's about a little tiny back alley road in Gainesville, and if you've been in downtown Gainesville, you know where it's at, and it's just he's got so many cool songs that are just, like you said, those B-sides and those just, Big Boss Man and things like that are just,
Hey, Sean, there's a bunch of millennials Googling box set right now going, what the hell is that? What's a box set?
Yeah, I just...
So we threw around chatter on Monday and Tuesday, but it's really, I don't know, weird's the right word, or happenstance, or awesome that both of you all last week mentioned Tom Petty in your respective blogs and posts. And I thought that was yeah, really cool. So anyway.
Well, you know, it's something I talk about in my keynote speeches I do around the country called Getting in Tune with Your Audience, What Real Estate Rock Stars Can Learn from Real Rock Stars. And the three of us on this panel right now, you know, I talk about, but something that today's generation doesn't get, you guys, is, first of all, I'm sure you both remember being at a record store. I could spend hours at a record store picking up albums, especially a used record store. We could open it up and read the liner notes. And things like that. But how many, you guys both remember, like, almost in the dark, you could put the needle on the song you wanted to hear on side B of an album, you know, that was just like, you know, and you got to play it so often. It was just, there was something special about, you know, knowing that track 3 was Refugee or track 6 was Here Comes My Girl, you know, and, it, you know, and just the waiting is the hardest part. And all those songs, you know, is, you know, just brings you back to reading the liner notes and the stories. Yeah. Some liner notes was credits to the songwriters, but others were stories about the band. And you just love to dig into your favorite band. And by day two of owning the album, you knew every word because you read it on the liner notes.
Yep.
Well, vinyl is making a comeback a little bit, Sean. And what I miss is the cover art, right? I think I was doing one show and you're like, is that Jimmy Buffett's Living and Dying Three-Quarter Time? He's on the old abandoned boat. But, you know, digital music's great. Amazon, I pulled up 49 Tom Petty songs in a playlist like that, and I've been having that on repeat for the last 3-4 days. But as you said, remember School Kid Records in Gainesville, Sean?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it was just a little farther north than the Porpoise. But you go there, and, I mean, it's a record store, and you buy stuff, and it was tangible, right? Now it's all digital. You don't hold it out, but you don't look at the cover art and review the lyrics. So
keep your eyes out for a great documentary on Tower Records and just the story of that shop, right, and store. And, you know, originally out of LA, but spread pretty quick and pretty big, and then kind of fizzled out with family issues. But yeah, that was the Tower Records and Sports Arena Boulevard was where I was.
And wow.
Yeah.
Well, hey guys, this became an extended edition, a double platinum edition of the Stare Down. Let's finish it up the way we always do with our small little bit on what we got going on in business this week. Let's start with you, Todd, this week. What do you got going on in the coming Georgia area in doors and hardware?
Sean, I'm going to invest in myself a little bit. My company requires you to take 4, 5, 6, 10 courses a year online, and I'm behind a little bit. So I'm going to spend the first part of the week investing myself, sharpening the saw, taking some courses that benefit me as a professional. And then come Tuesday, it's, you know, getting out there and close some deals. Nothing too exciting this week on paper, but those are the weeks that sometimes surprise you, and you go out and make ordinary calls and uncover some pretty extraordinary things. So I'm hoping that happens.
Nice. Nice, Bill. Good episode last week on the Real Estate Sessions.
Who did I have last week? I'm trying to think it through. Oh, yeah, Matthew Shadbolt.
Yeah. So I listened to my drive from Roanoke to Alexandria. I got a little shout-out in the episode. It was kind of fun.
Yes, you did. A couple times, I think, Matthew talked about you. And you're really a great guy. And Todd, you got to listen to it because we talk APL. And
oh, nice.
He's a Yeovil Town Football Club will be the next jersey of any kind that I purchase will be a Yeovil, nice, Football Club jersey. Right. Matthew Shadbolt grew up. It's a League Two team. So it's,
wow,
three steps away from the EPL. So
hey, I can't, let me jump in. I can't remember if I told you or not, but my son went to a Fulham Football Club match in London last 2 weeks ago. And he actually was in London, so bought me this Arsenal beer glass. So
very nice.
Very cool. Nice. Go ahead, Bill.
Then so this week it's a local guy, really great stuff. His name is Anand Patel. developer, commercial, residential brokerage. He started with Next Home, which is Imran Pilates, you know, the group he works with, Sean.
Yeah.
So really interesting guy on a local level. So he's going to be, he'll be out Tuesday this week. We've got a lot of stuff going on with our new sales manager. So we're working hard to, you know, do that. And we're also doing some great customer service training. Sean, I might even hit you up this week to get some ideas, but we're going to sit down for 45 minutes with each branch, like a little breakfast meeting, to talk about what it's like for realtors to walk into that office and how we have to kind of really up our game a little bit, make sure we're doing the best things we can to create an experience and acknowledge people and take care of people. So we're starting that process this week. And then I, you know, I can't wait for Saturday. We've good friends flying in from Phoenix. And so there'll be five of us road tripping to Gainesville from Tampa. And we are going to, I got to learn how to do this. So if you can't, we don't show the video, but I'm practicing my gator chop. And
it looks like you got it, Bill.
Okay, good. I didn't know if I had that the right way. but we're really excited about the game. So that's coming up for me. How about you?
Go ahead. Sorry.
Yep. Well, for me, it's a big week for me, boys. Starting tomorrow, Monday morning, not only do I speak here in St. Louis, I also teach class in Columbus on Wednesday. Thursday will be 50 trips around the sun for me. So this week begins the Seanathon. For my Jewish friend. For my Jewish friends, it's Seanica, but it's a celebration of my 50th birthday coming up this Thursday. So I speak at the Dayton Bar Camp. Bill, you know what a real estate bar camp is.
I do.
I'll be the keynote. I'm opening up that day with a keynote session, and then I'll be hosting a few sessions.
Yeah.
And you know, got to get back to, been on the road for tomorrow. When I pull home, I will have been gone for 8 days, driving. I'll be a little over 2,400 miles, in the car.
Wow.
Been to, some amazing cities. I passed through 11 villes today on my way from Columbia.
Any burgs? Any burgs?
Greenville, Knoxville, Asheville.
Yeah.
Knoxville, and then a couple of Clarksville, and a couple of small villes along my way. But it's going to be a good week, and looking forward to building relationships, solving problems, and having fun. So, guys, on behalf of Bill and Todd, I'm Sean Carpenter, and a little shout out to our buddy Tom Petty. Thanks for hanging out with us on the Stare Down. Yeah.